have spoken, living in me much fruit ye shall bear, dwelling in you my promise unbroken, glory in heaven with me ye shall share. I am the vine and ye are the branches. I am the vine, be faithful and true. Ask what ye will, your prayer shall be answered. The Father loved me, so I have loved you. Yes, by your fruits the world is to know you, walking in love as children of day. Follow your guide, he passeth before you, leading to realms of glorious day. I am the vine and ye are the branches. I am the vine, be faithful and true. Ask what ye will, your prayer shall be granted. The Father loved me, so I have loved you. Song number 52. By Christ redeemed, in Christ restored, we keep the supper of the Word and show the death of our dear Lord until He come. His body given in our stead is seen in this memorial bread. And as we drink, we see the blood until He come. And thus that dark betrayal night, with the last advent we unite by one bright chain of loving right until He come. Brother Gene, would you lead us in prayer at this time, please?
Most gracious, beloved Heavenly Father, once again we come to you thanking you for the many blessings of this life that you have given us. We thank you also for the love that you have for us in sending your Son into this world to die for us on that cruel cross of Calvary. We pray for those that were mentioned here this day, the ones that are missing their loved one, who have passed on. We pray for our sick. We pray that you will be with them and bless them as only you can. For you know they all need. We pray for our country, Lord, that you would look for them, that you would bless the leaders and give them the knowledge and the love that they will need to run this great country. Amen. We pray that you will bless each and every one of them in a way that only you can. We pray for peace. We pray for peace that would be an everlasting peace. We pray that you will go with us now throughout this day and throughout our lives and bless us in all things that we do and say, and that we will always look to you for the guidance that only you can give. Forgive us of our many sins. This is our prayer. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Now if you would, on the same page, number 51, let us sing this before the time of the Lord's Supper this morning. Travis, would you read for us the verses there? Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me, as thou hast break the loaves beside the sea. Within the sacred page, I seek thee, Lord. My spirit bends for thee, O living Word. Bless thou the truth, dear Lord, to me, to me, as thou didst bless the bread by Galilee, then shall all bondage cease, all fetters fall, and I shall find my peace, my all.
Read it this morning from Mark 14, 22 and 25. And as they did eat, Jesus took the bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it. And he gave it to them and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he gave it thanks, he gave it to them, and they drank of it. And he said unto them, This is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine, until that day I drink it new in the kingdom of God.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly God, thank you for allowing us to meet you here in your house.
Amen.
Open our minds and our hearts and let us do this in a way that is pleasing to you and realize this represents Christ's body on the cross. Amen.
Amen. We have 26 present this morning for our taping purposes and for our worship time. Good to be with you, each one, and blessings to God be with us. If you would, please turn with me in the Bible to 291. 291. Some consider this song to be just a time during the holiday season, just Christmas season. But it's far from that. It is the idea of a great, great Savior who came. And the day and the time and the ideas of it are not so announced, as we do not know that. But we do know that he came. So sing with me this song that's really joyfully sung. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. He rules the the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love. Indeed, the right ways of God are to be involved in this good old song. Number 479. Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the morning bright and fair? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the heat of the noonday's glare? For the harvest time is coming on, and the reaper's work will soon be done. Will your sheaves be many? Will you garner any for the gathering at the harvest home? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the still and solemn night? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, for a harvest pure and bright? Are the harvest time is coming on, and the reaper's work will soon be done. Will your sheaves be many? Will you garner any for the gathering at the harvest home? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, all along the fertile way? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother? You must reap at the last great day. For the harvest time is coming on, and the reaper's work will soon be done. Will your sheaves be many? Will you garner any for the gathering at the harvest home? Number 21 will be our song of invitation this morning. Number 21. Almost persuaded. And sing with me the first and fifth verse of number 19. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, Lord, abide with me. Hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Ere morning breaks and earth's vain shadows flee, in life, in death, O Lord, abide with me. And leave your marker there at Psalm number 21 for the invitation song today. I think you saw by way of the board outside that advertising the topic for today was the question mark, Rob God. It comes from Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 8, where the question is asked, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but I say unto you, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. The idea of God abiding in their lives was not a part of their heart and their ideals. As a result of that, they found themselves what God says is robbing God of their offerings. Keep in mind that God had dictated to them, as they had mentioned there, going into the promised land, a time of their giving and a time of their worship, and the time in which they would be involved with the poor and the needy. It is noted regarding the ways that they would do. But they had forgotten all about God's way in that will, and they had robbed God as a result. May we rob God today as we think about not only the giving of wages and monies that are involved, but also of our time, of our thoughtfulness, of our energy, of our level of consideration of God's way in our daily walk of life. Does he make a difference with us as we choose our words to say to others? Does he make a difference with us as we choose our decisions to make in regard to the support of those who are in times of great need, whether they're missionaries on a foreign field in great need, or whether they're in a circumstance of life that is bestowed upon them and they in a time of great need in that regard? Do we have any concern in regard to their ways of life? Are we about the work of robbing God in that regard? Not being a part of his work in his way, because he has told us to comfort others. In the writing of Paul to the brethren at Corinth, he said, blessed be God. God who's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in every time of our affliction, that we may be able to comfort others in their time of a sorrow with the same comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of him. We're comforted of God in his holy word as we face times of sorrow, as we face times of joy, as we face times of challenge in our daily walk of life. As a result of that, we look to ourselves and we look up to God. And we think about God, do we think about him in a prayerful vein, in a somber vein, in a way of calling him into our hearts and lives and to the lives of others round about us, comforting them with the same comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God? We find ourselves thinking about others and thinking in that same way. We're to bestow that work upon them and service upon them, urging them to remember God's way and God's will in their daily walk of life. As Paul wrote to the brethren at Corinth in this matter in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 7, he said to be a person who walks by faith and not by sight. In that regard, we're to be people who believe what we're saying to God in prayer. And as we go about the walk of life in that way, we're to be conscious of the thought in mind that we believe that God goes with us, that he will help us, that he will aid us, that others who believe in him and are comforted by him will also be a part of helping us as we serve the cause of God. If we're people who do not do that, will we not be people who rob him? The word robbery is used 7 other times in the Old Testament of our Bible. In Leviticus 19 at verse 13, it is said, thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. As they were employing people and paying them as the day came to an end, instead of putting them off until morning time, they were to be paid properly at that time of the day. Otherwise, it would be a matter of robbing from them. A temptation to rob from them, at least. A time to forget about what responsibilities we have. It is noted again in Leviticus 26 and verse 22. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. Lord is saying to them there in Leviticus 26:22, if you do not follow my way and do my will as you go toward this promised land, these are plagues or troubles that will befall you and trouble you at the time. I'll rob from you your future of the children that you have. What would they be teaching those children? But nothing but bad and nothing but evil and nothing but wrong if they had not followed God's will in the right way. We find ourselves robbing God. We find ourselves robbing others that we influence around us of their faithfulness to God and their will to know God's will and to put it into practice in their daily walk of life. When you and I find ourselves believing the teaching that is going on in our day and time, and the teaching that is going on about people coming to the Lord in prayer and asking the Lord into their heart, and being a part of that salvation system called the sinner's prayer. But we do not find it in the New Testament of our Bible, not a single time. We do not find on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 when the people said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Being told that they had taken and crucified the Lord of glory. They were guilty of that. They were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, now what shall we do? It was not said to them, well, what you need to do is you need to bow down in prayer. You need to be a person who bows down in prayer. You need to ask the Lord to forgive you this. To the contrary, in Acts 2, the verses 38, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and your children and to as many afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The Lord is calling people even down the stream of time today. Is He calling them to a time of prayer that they might be right with God? To the contrary, these verses right here, the verses that we teach, that we work with, the idea of having that hope of forgiveness of our sins. Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. I've asked a number of my friends in this community who found themselves a part of denominationalism in general to listen for the sinner's prayer. Listen for the verse and tell me where the verse is that the prayer might be offered. There are 9 detailed examples in the book of Acts of the Apostles of people coming to the Lord in obedience to the gospel. But when we get to Acts chapter 9 and we read of Saul of Tarsus and we read of his time meeting the Lord on the road to Damascus, some will even tell us that Saul was saved on that road to Damascus, when in fact what was said to him was, go into the city and there be told what you must do. He's told on the road to Damascus, go into the city. What did Ananias, the gospel preacher that came to him, say? The story is picked up in Acts 9 in chapter 22 and verse 16. Now, why tarriest thou, brother Saul? A fellow Jewish brother, not saved from sin, he still had his sins with him. Notice what he said to him. Now, brother Saul, why tarriest thou? Rise, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. How did he go about calling on the name of the Lord? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. He could be brand new in the sight of God. If he did not do that, would he not be robbing God of the hope of his soul? Would he not be robbing God's will and God's way? Think about that as you hear the statement made. Ask the Lord into your heart. Have these words of prayer to be said. I'm a sinner. Come in and save me. When in fact, when Ananias got there to Saul of Tarsus and saw a man in deep prayer, he said, arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins. He still had his sins with him when this was said. Do we find ourselves enjoying the idea that we would teach someone that which we cannot see in the Scripture at all? We cannot read at all. They were told to be saved from sin. Look in Acts chapter 8. The idea of this man from Ethiopia who was traveling, and he found himself in worship there in the Jewish religion in Jerusalem, and going back home, he was reading from Isaiah, what we know as Isaiah 53, about the prophet of the Lord who would come and who would teach and who would work. And here comes a man named Philip running along by the side of the chariot. "Do you understand what you're reading?" he asked this man. This man said, "How can I really understand it unless somebody guide me?" He knew the benefit of being challenged with it and thoughtful discussions being done with it. Not angry dispositions being done, but thoughtful dispositions being done. As they described and discussed this situation, he joined the chariot, rode along with him, and began at the same scripture and preached to him Jesus. He preached Jesus to him out of Isaiah 53, that this is the Christ who's come, this is his right way. As they rode along, they came to a certain water in the road. That Gaza was a part of that. And here they were in this riding along. And here's what the Ethiopian eunuch asked him. "Do you see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Now go back in that context of Acts chapter 8 and read where any message of repentance and baptism were stated to this man by Philip. You read where Philip said to him when he asked, "What hinders me from being baptized? If you believe, you may. If you believe what I've taught you, you may." He replied, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." They stopped the chariot, both went down in the water, and he baptized him. Philip baptized the Ethiopian. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip. And now then, what happened? The Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing. Why'd he go on his way rejoicing? He had asked a question and got an answer to it, and he had now been obedient to the Lord's way. He had been baptized into Christ to wash away his sins, as you read there in Acts 22:16. And as you read regarding the day of Pentecost, to have the remission of their sins in Acts 2:38. That's what he had done, and now he enjoyed his relationship with the Lord and his way, and he went on his way rejoicing. When you get to the example of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, is a prayer told to Cornelius, a man of prayer, a man who gives alms to the poor, a man who's a good neighbor and a good friend, he's told, "Send to Joppa for Simon Peter, who when he is come will tell thee what thou oughtest to do." Simon Peter comes to his household, tells them about Jesus and tells them about his right way, and sees that the Spirit of God has come upon this Gentile man. As on us at the beginning, like the apostles back there in Acts 2, had the Spirit of God to come upon them. Now then they saw that this was the same case with this Gentile man. Simon Peter turned to the others that were with him and said, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized who receive the Spirit the same as we in the beginning?" The Spirit of God was given to him not for salvation, but was given to him to show a sign to Simon Peter that he was to be told the full message, the whole message of salvation from sin. There he was. Not words of prayer. Not words about you'll be saved if you take Jesus into your heart. But words of obedience to his will being made new. Will we rob God if we don't obey His will? It is said in the book of Isaiah chapter 17 and verse 14, "And behold, at evening tide trouble, and before the morning he is not. This is a portion of them that spoil us, a lot of them that rob us." Isaiah 17, 14. There were people in that day and time that were about the business of robbing the people of God rather than extending to them a helping hand. Today, I fear that there are religious leaders who are simply robbing people of salvation, telling them of a prayer to be said that is not found the first time in our New Testament. What do we do? We be people who follow God's will and God's way. Are you subject to Jesus' invitation today? As we stand and sing together, number 221, the first and third verses of this good old hymn, "Would You Come to Jesus," as we stand and sing.
Almost persuaded now to believe, almost persuaded Christ to receive, seems now some soul to say, "Go, Spirit, go thy way, some more convenient day on behalf of." Almost persuaded, harvest is past. Almost persuaded, doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail, almost is but to fail. Sad, sad, that bitter wail, almost but not.
Don't forget that this is third Sunday, and third Sunday night we sing tonight. And I've invited by way of Facebook people all over the area to come and be with us to sing tonight at 6 o'clock. And no potluck afterwards, being the holiday season upon us and all the other cooking that's being done. We'll enjoy very much the song time tonight, though, at 6 o'clock. God bless you, everyone. Let's see, who's to lead our closing prayer today? You got it? That's it, Tony. Got it. So, Tony, thank you for being here today, and thank you for your good help since you come back to be with us all this last year and everything. It's been great. Good to have your brother help us out this morning in the community. It's good to have Brother Rich here and be a part of things as well. It's been a joy for us this year to have you to return. Would you lead us as we dismiss in prayer, please?